Amen.
Amen. We are truly blessed to be able to be on this camping trip. Amen.
Amen.
God has blessed us to continue to be here today. And that camping gives us a meaning and a thought of hope. And that I believe that is the reason why we are here today, is because we have a hope. And that is why I bring the title, The Audacity of Hope. I just want to thank the brothers for giving me the opportunity once again to stand before you and to present to you the Word of God. It is a great opportunity and blessing to be able to proclaim the truth. And God has been truly good to us, and we are surely today showing that example today by being here. It's good to see those who found it in their hearts to be important for them to come back and to gather and to worship God once again. Because it's the Lord's day all day, amen? All day, every day, amen. Titus chapter 3, verse number 7. That being justified by grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. See, there is a man that we all might know and love who is the President of the United States. And he wrote a book with this same title. And he had a speech with the same title, The Audacity of Hope. But his hope, I believe that he was trying to give to us, is that how America, here, life on America and even the world could be better. Better jobs, better homes, better schooling, and all these things, even clear air and all these different things that he hoped and promised. He made promises here on this earth about how this life could be different. And for me, when he first ran, there was a thing there that he was going to be the first black president of the United States of America. And by that, he pulled our heartstrings in the race card even. And some of us, for the first time, I know myself, got up and went out and voted just because of it, a historical moment. Am I right about it? But as we see that... some people even see, we can see that things haven't changed, though. It's not like all those beautiful things that he promised us has come to pass. We still have hard times. We're in two extra wars right now. He said he's going to put an end to the war. And, better jobs and housing. People are losing their jobs still, and people are still losing their houses. And these things have become an empty promise. And he sold us on a false hope. But through God, as Christians, we have a better hope. A hope of one day making it to heaven. Am I right about it? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter that we have a lively hope. Am I right? And this hope, a lively hope means a living hope. A hope that is something that you can count on. Something that you can put your whole all in all to. Something that you can bet your bottom dollar on. Am I right about it? And that is the hope that God has promised us. And then in Titus chapter 2, I believe Titus is a book of hope. Because in the first chapter, if we look over in chapter 1, and verse number 2, the Bible says, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie, promised before the world began. God, who cannot lie, who promised. He made us a promise of eternal life. Barack Obama made us a promise, but we know that men lie. Am I right about it?
Yeah.
Sisters, we know, and even ladies, we know, people lie. Man will tell you a bald-faced lie in your face, and you can believe and trust that lie, but in the end, most of the time, and some of the time, just like as we see through all most politicians, they tell you things, but it ends up being a lie. I remember back George Bush, he said, no new taxes. As soon as he got in office, he taxed us. Am I right about it? And then George Bush Jr., he got up and people say that most of his whole thing was a lie. 9/11, some people saying all these things are all lies. But that's because man cannot promise things that they don't have control over. We don't have control over what's going to happen on tomorrow. And we don't have control of, even today, we don't really have control. We only get maybe our personal lives and what we choose, but God can stop this whole world today. And then we don't know what is going to come. But God has promised us something that we can have a hope for, that we don't have to worry about. And we can guarantee that that hope, if we live our lives and walk the walk and fight the faith, that one day we will be blessed with that eternal hope. Am I right about it? See, and then in Titus chapter 2, it says, looking to that blessed or a happy hope. Am I right about it? And that glorious appearance of the great God, our Savior Jesus Christ. See, that is what we hope for. We hope for things. They try to predict it coming. But the fact of it, that our hope, it should be just the fact that we do what we need to do to make sure that that thing comes about. It's not about being predicting it, but it's about staying ready for it, being prepared for it. Brother Feaster talked about prepared people for a prepared place last week. And then today, Brother Kirkendall talked about the love, that all that is by is faith, hope, and love. These three things is what we have. Not the prophecies that he tried to do that they talked about earlier in that scripture. Not the prophecies, not the healing, not the miraculous powers, but faith, hope, and love. The Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 11, which he went to, that faith is the substance of things hoped for. See, with faith comes hope. Or rather, with hope comes faith. Because faith is the byproduct of hope. We have a hope for eternal life, so therefore we abide by faith. We do the things according to the faith of God, according to the faith. And the faith is something that you believe in, but it's also something that you do. If the Bible tells in James that faith without works is dead. Am I right about it? So without faith, we have no hope. And without hope, there's no faith. And without faith and hope, there is no love. And there is no promise that we can have to stand on. Am I right about it? And then the Bible tells us, first he says that we are justified. 1 Corinthians 6 tells us that through baptism that we are justified and sanctified. Such as some of us that we were in the situation of sin where we didn't have a hope. We were away from hope. We didn't have that opportunity of hope, but when we were baptized, we were added to Christ. And through Christ Jesus, we have that hope of eternal life. Jesus said that I am the way, the truth and the light. No man comes to the Father but by me. And in this in John chapter 14 and 1:6, he explains, first of all, he gives us a hope when he says that he goes to prepare a place, and he said, I'll prepare a place for you, and that's for me. Then he said, I will come again, and he will come again. And that is our hope that we hope for, that day that when Jesus comes again, that when he comes, that we will be part of that great going up. Am I right about it? We have that hope. Because let me tell you, the reason why on earth we can never have that peace on earth, or that utopia on earth, is because of one thing, and that is because of sin. Am I right? Sin is the only thing that is keeping us from having that perfect, blissful life here on earth. No matter how much the politicians may promise things to be beautiful and things to be wonderful, because of sin, even that man who is promising you that, he is part of sin, or he has sin himself. The Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 2 that there was a time when we didn't even have the opportunity of this hope. The Bible says that in times you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope. Now think about that. Now, they say that a man could live 3 days without water, 8 days without food. But then they say that a man could not live but 1 second without hope. If there was no hope, what would make you want to continue to go forward? What would make you continue to do the work? What would make you want to love? All these things that we do, even here in worship, we come today and we sing and we pray and we commune and all these things. But the reason we do this is because we have a hope for eternal life. We sing to encourage each other and to edify each other to make it over to the other side. We pray, asking God to help us make it to heaven. And we have to thank Him for that opportunity. And then we ask Him to forgive us for not being on that road to heaven or not having that continuous hope. Then in communion, we remember the one who gave us the opportunity to make it to heaven. Am I right about it? He said, do this in remembrance of me. And that is Jesus Christ. That all of this hope is in Jesus Christ. Like I said, man cannot give us that confidence. We might look at him and see and hear the things that he says, but again, because of sin, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verses 12, 17, get that for me, please. Romans chapter 5, verses 12, 17, and 19. See, Jesus said that he's going to prepare a place. Then he said, whether I go, you know the way. And the way you know. Then Thomas asked him, Thomas was doubting Thomas, which is a bad title to have for someone who doubts. Because with doubt, there's no hope again. And there's no faith with doubt. He said, I don't know the way. You haven't showed us no way. Jesus said, yes, I have. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Thomas had been with the way the whole time. And I believe Jesus was teaching them how to lead other people in the way. But sometimes we are here and we listen. Or we might be hearing something, but we're not listening. Or we might be listening and then there's no comprehension to what we hear or what we're listening to. But Jesus had to make it plain that there is no way. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. Am I right? Then the Bible says God made the promise. Again, it's all about the promises. Through the promises we have hope. And God said, the Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. And the promise that he made, that whosoever believes in him, and that's faith again, shall not perish but have eternal life. And again, hope brings faith. And faith brings obedience. And obedience brings about the love. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Am I right about it? So if you have faith and you have hope, then you're going to do something to show it. When we had, like I said, Obama showed us on that faith where we said, well, maybe one day we can be judged by the content of our character and not the color of our skin because this black man has become the president. But we have to understand that some people even say, oh, he's not even a real black because he was mixed. But through the thing that he was trying to tell them, that through America, we can see that the original founders of the earth, of America, was trying to set it up where everybody would be equal. And I believe that in the church, God makes us equal. We might have different trials, we might have different tribulations, we might have different levels of faith, but we are equal on one thing, is that we all have that same eternal hope of salvation. Am I right about it? And that's what it's all about, because we have that faith. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 5, it says, by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So death by sin is passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Again, that's why there will never be peace. No utopia. There's always going to be some kind of war, because somebody is always going to have some jealousy or envy or hatred or something is going to be there always to keep us from having that eternal faith. But then in verse 17, he said, for if by one man's offense death reigned, by one much more they which receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. Again, Christ Jesus is the reason and the purpose and the basics of our hope. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2 that we should look to Jesus because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Am I right about it? And then verse 19, for by one man's disobedience many were made sinners. So by one man's obedience shall many be made righteous. One man's disobedience. We know about Adam and Eve, right? And Adam disobeyed God. He only had three rules when he was here on earth. Three rules, and he couldn't do that because of, I guess, it's sin. Sin will keep you from doing the basics. He told him to be fruitful and multiply, to take care of the garden. And then he said, don't eat of the fruit. Two things that he had to do. And one of the things was something that you just didn't have to worry about, basically, not eating of the fruit. But that one thing was the one that set us at a guilty distance. Set him and us, because of that, we all are in that situation, have been cursed with this curse of death. Am I right about it? But the Bible says, by his disobedience, but he says the obedience of one man, Christ Jesus. In Hebrews 5, chapter 8, chapter 5, verse 8 through 9 says, though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by what he suffered. Am I right about it? Then it says, being made perfect, he became the author and the finisher, or the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. See, again, we see that obedience brought about salvation. If you can't obey or do the will of God, then salvation is not in your grasp. It is something that you will have to just give up on, because you have to obey. No matter what it is that you do, you have to obey the law. If you want to learn something, there's a certain pattern, a certain means in which you have to go through to get to that certain situation in your life. And you have to always be able to obey the rules. Just like here on this earth, we can stay out of jail, or we cannot be shot, or whatever it is that the police might do to you if you obey the law. I used to drive down the street and be worried about every police car, but that was because I wasn't obeying the law. Am I right? I had fake tags on the car, my license was suspended, anything. So every police I saw, I was dipping the corner and trying not to get caught, or turn the corner and let him pass me up, or make a right or a left. But that's because I wasn't obeying the law. But now that I have my stuff together, somewhat, sort of, I can drive freely down the street and not worry about none of these problems. And that is all because of obedience. When you obey, it's in school and at your work and everything that you do, you have to obey. And from that obedience, you will be blessed with something. Either in your job, if you obey the rules of the job, you get a promotion. And in school, you get a degree, or you graduate, and all these things. Everything that you have to do comes out of obedience. And Christ came on earth to show us how to be obedient to the fact where he gave his life for us. And again, that hope that we have through Christ Jesus because of that reason. Because he gave up his life for us. He came down from heaven's throne and came down to be in this flesh full of heartaches and troubles and trials and tribulations on this earth to show us that there's going to be a time when you don't have to worry about that no more. Jesus said to rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. And then in Luke he says to rejoice and leap for joy. Now if we look at it and believe in that hope and in that blessing, we should be able to leap for joy. Am I right about it? We should be able to shout and say, thank you, Jesus, and hallelujah. There should be no reason why we should be handcuffed when we worship God, or why we go through our life, because Jesus, he basically told us that if you have that hope, and if you have that faith, you should be happy. You should be excited. He said exceedingly glad. That means more than just happy. That's going above and beyond your regular joy, because the joy here on earth is going to stop at a point. You know what I'm saying? You might get something. You might get a blessing. But eventually, something will go and happen where that blessing will not look so good no more. Am I right? You anything that you get here on this earth is going to become a heartache to you at one point in your life. No matter what it is, you can have children. This is a beautiful thing, but they can get on your nerves. Am I right about it? And that's a blessing, but that hope of eternal life, where we know that no matter what a man may tell us, what a man may think, that God has promised us something that is more eternal, more blessed. So there should be no reason why we should have sour persimmon faces, right, Brother Reagan? When he always said, walking around with your face like you ate a sour persimmon, your lips drawn up, and you can't shake a hand, and you bumping folks. When we see each other, we should be happy to see each other, because we're all on the same mission. And we have that same hope, the Bible tells us that there is one hope, am I right about it? And one faith. And all these things that we share, we have that unity, and we should be together with one another. Am I right about it? Like he said in 1 Corinthians 13:13, he says, now abideth hope, faith, and love. And from these things, you get hope, faith, and love. And Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Then it says, love God. The commandment that Jesus gave was to love God with all thy heart, with all thy mind, with all thy soul. And then he said, the second of this is just as great, and that is to love your neighbor. Am I right about it? So, like I said, hope brings faith, and faith brings obedience, which brings about love. He said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. His commandment was to love. And if we love God, we're going to do what God tells us to do. And if we love one another, we're going to do what it is necessary to encourage one another to make it to heaven. Am I right about it? in Thessalonians chapter 4, as I come to a close, I'm not going to hold you long, just 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16. Again, if we love one another through the hope and the faith, that's my idea, so we all have to share this scripture together. Amen. The hope and the faith and the love, then we can encourage one another. That no matter what the trials and tribulations, no matter the lies that have been told, no matter what your situation may be, that we can still be encouraged. Am I right about it? The Bible says in verse 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a great shout, with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." What a day that would be. Am I right about it? "Then we which are alive and still remain shall be caught up together." See, again, togetherness, oneness. We all have that same hope that we're going to be caught up together with them. And in the clouds to meet Him. And in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. And then verse 18 says, "Wherefore, comfort one another." You see that? Comfort one another. When your brother or your sister comes to you and tell you that, I just don't think I can hold on anymore. You tell them, don't worry about it. Because one day the Lord is going to come and it's going to be all over. We're going to be caught up. Well, we don't have to worry about this no more. If my house and my bills, I can't find a job. You don't have to worry about that because one day, see, our hope, it has to be bigger and larger than just this earthly hope. Because again, because of sin, and then we have to understand that until there is no more sin, there can be no peace on earth. Do you understand that? Because of sin, we can't have it. But until sin is gone, there will be no peace on earth. We have a peace of mind. We sing that song, "I got the peace and the love and the joy." And that's the peace of mind. The mind of peace, it should be the fact that no matter what I go through, if I do the will of God, I can make it to heaven. Am I right about it? And this is what it is all about. I mean, he says to comfort one another with these words. And if you read this and you can, you know, in your hardest and lowest times of your life, just turn here and you can read it, and that hope will be built into you. Well, I can keep on going. I can keep fighting the fight. I can keep walking the walk. I can keep living the life that God will have me to live because I have that hope for eternal life. And then finally, Revelation chapter 21, verses 4 and 5. This is where we can say that there's going to be peace. And there's going to be a utopia. Total bliss, where there will be no more pain. Am I right? Well, let's get there. It says, "God shall wipe away all the tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be any more pain, for former things are passed away." And in verse 5 he says, "And he that sat upon the throne, behold, and I make things anew. And he said unto me, write these words are true and faithful." See, these words, that we know that sin makes us worry. Death makes us cry. Our aches and pains makes us sorrowful about life when we're ready to get it over with. Am I right about it? And all these things that come to us, but all these are the results of sin being in our life. See, there was a time when before then, Adam and Eve, they didn't have these problems before the sin came. They didn't have to worry about going to work every day and paying their bills and putting gas in the car because everything was provided for them in the garden. But because of sin, they lost that opportunity. And they lost that safety that they have. But we see that one day when God will come calling, and Jesus will come and call us to meet Him up in the air, that those tears and that sin will be wiped away. And there, that is our hope. And that is the audacity. People say, audacity is like a daring boldness for those encouraged. and confidence. And people say, you got your nerve. Am I right about it? You got your nerve thinking that you're going to heaven. Or you got your nerve thinking that there's only one church and this is the only church that's going to heaven. But the reason we have that audacity is because we have the faith and that hope in the Word of God. If God says it, then that settles it. And that's it. Am I right about it? So that's how we can say, yes, I am going. Yes, I am on my way. Yes, there is only one. We can stand in boldly with confidence and say yes, because that audacity comes from the hope, comes from the Word of God. And the Bible says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that will set you free from sin, set you free from doubt, set you free from worries, because you know that there is a hope one day. Am I right about it? And hope is a great expectation. And there's no greater expectation than making it to heaven. You can expect anything, no matter, even like I said, kids, you can expect that life to come, the having of children. But the greatest expectation is making it to heaven. Am I right about it? And it is an anticipation with optimism. See, you have to be positive thinkers. You have to say, yes, I will make it. Yes, this is the way. And that gives you, again, that gives you that boldness and that daringness and that gall to say, I am going to make it to heaven. You can put your, yes, I am going to make it to heaven. Am I right about it? Because if you're doing the will of God, there's no way that you can't make it. Because the reason is God made the promise. And the promise is what we have. And that's all we have is the promise. Then from that promise, we have the hope, the faith, and the love. Am I right about it? And I believe that is the basics of our Christianity, that we have to continue to have hope. Because if we don't have any hope, then our whole mission is over. Our whole purpose of life is over. Because what is our goal? What are we looking forward to? Why do we wake up in the morning? You know what I'm saying? God gives us the ability to wake up. So in that waking up, we should be using our lives to do the will of God, to glorify God and glorify the Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Am I right? And that's why we have worship again. And we come here and participate in the service. See, the preaching is to encourage you and to edify you to make it to heaven. And also in that preaching, there's a warning in preaching where it tells you if you don't do it, you won't have that hope of eternal life. Your hope will be unhope. It will be a hopelessness. Am I right about it? But by doing the will and through the preaching and the praying and the worship service that we come, that's why it's so important that we participate in these activities of worship. Because it shows that you have the hope. And I believe that's all I would like to encourage you to do. But again, you must always remember that one day, this is all going to be over. And that has to be the basis of the fuel that drives you every day. And that no matter what, if I do what he tells me to do and I adhere to the promise, I will make it to heaven. And I don't see anyone who's not a member of the church, which is good to see. Amen. But a lot of people, they don't have that same hope. They are without hope. They are without Christ. And they have a false sense of hope that has been given to them by man. And it is our duty as a church to give them that true sense of hope, that bold and that blessed hope and that lively hope. And that's why the Bible says that we are lively stones. Am I right about it in this building? Now we have to be showing folk. People can see if we walking around happy, they want to know what is it that makes you happy. I used to sing when I was at work. I used to sing all the time. And he was like, why are you singing all the time? And why are you singing? And it's Monday. But because I had that hope. And I was singing, oh, how I love Jesus. Or any song that you might sing that gives praise to God is because you have that hope. And then people will want to know, well, what is it? Or how can I get it? And then, like I said, then you can take it into the Word of God and teach somebody on how to be hope. But if you're walking around like them, they don't want to know where you're going. And they don't know where you're coming from. Am I right about it? It's all, you're just as bad situation as I am. But we should have that hope. No matter what, we should show and that joy and leap for joy and be exceedingly glad, because great is our reward in heaven. And that is our audacity of hope. So if we all stand and sing the song of invitation, pray that we can continue to have that hope. Amen.